Big show for you here today. We are live at Super Bowl Radio Row on the Toyota Land Cruiser set, and we have a big, big, massive show for you here today. NFL Network's Greg Rosenthal joins me to break down everything you need to know about when the Chiefs and Eagles have the ball. We pick the game, we pick MVPs, we do all the things. Then Caroline Fenton joins me to talk about your feelings around this year's Super Bowl. Should you be excited about this matchup and what you should actually be looking forward to in this year's NFL draft? And then we welcome Malik Nabers, Roma Dunze, and DJ Moore to the show to just catch up, man. Great wide receiver talk. Lots coming up on today's show. Let's get into it. It's Wednesday, February 5th. I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast here on the Toyota Land Cruiser set at the Super Bowl. And man, it is a hell of a day to talk ball. And it is a hell of a day to talk ball with my guest here. First time on the show, which is pretty crazy because you and I, Greg Rosenthal, have known each other for many years. Greg, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Yeah, what is up with that? Just,
you know, actually, I was thinking
didn't
about
make the cut.
I was thinking about this as I decided I wanted to have you on the show. And again, thank you for joining me. You were on the Backyard Banter podcast way back in the day, but that is the first time. This is the first time I've invited you on a show since then. So I don't know what is up.
Well, you're a regular guest on NFL Daily, and you got this badass car here. You're killing it.
Well, I'm doing the best I can, but it's good to have you, man. It's good to talk through the Super Bowl. So what we're gonna do with Greg? We have a big show for you here. What we're gonna do with Greg to start is we're just gonna talk about what we're looking for when each team has the ball. Later in the show, I'm going to talk with Caroline Fenton about why you should be or should not be excited about this Super Bowl and why you should basically just like live your truth and do whatever you want. Oh. We're also going to talk a little bit of NFL drafts guide for an idiot. I'm the idiot in that scenario. And then we're going to finish with an interview with Malik Nabers and Roma Dunze and DJ Moore. So like I said, it's a packed show. Greg, let's waste no more time. Let's get into it. Eagles, Chiefs, let's start when the Eagles have the ball. What do you have your eye on?
The outside runs, like the Chiefs are better in almost every way over the last 6-7 weeks than they were all season. Like, I think they're a totally different team. Like, people have this idea that they somehow were lucky or they got close. It's like, no, they're the best team in football over the last 6 or 7 weeks, except for one big area. Outside zone runs. If you look at what James Cook did to them, if you look at what Joe Mixon did to them, that is where Barkley eats. He's averaging over 9 yards per carry on outside runs in the playoffs, which is just
absurd,
a preposterous number. And actually, their tackling hasn't been good. They're like gap integrity, all that dorky stuff. Like, they have not been great defending the run in the playoffs. They haven't been great defending tight ends either. So those are kind of the two areas when the Eagles have the ball. They've been very versatile this season. Like, kind of whatever the matchup is, they're pretty good at picking the other opponent's weakness. And to me, that's a pretty big weakness.
It's a big one. Yeah, I came away with some of that stuff as well. I mean, the story of the season to me is like these elite running back talents going to already great rushing ecosystems and weaponizing them. Mm. And I was talking about that before this season and kind of using like the CMC example from years ago. And that was like, I think, the hope for Philadelphia, for Baltimore, and even a little bit Jahmyr Gibbs in Detroit.
For like, Green Bay too?
Yeah, for Green Bay too. It's kind of, it's not quite as like sexy and as explosive as these other options, but it's along the same thing. Like, they were able to run so many more concepts as a rushing team with Josh Jacobs, and I think they were with Aaron Jones, even though Jones is a great player. But yeah, 2.9% explosive rushing rate allowed by the Chiefs all season. But how are they not gonna at least give up a couple of bangers to Saquon in this one?
I think they will. I mean, because everyone does. It's one of the more consistent players. Like, you can think of X factors, this or that. If you just think about, like, is he going to make that person miss in the open field? Is he going to turn 4 yards into 7? And ultimately, like, is their running attack and their scheme actually the perfect answer for Spagnuolo? Because you have this tendency to think, oh, my God, Jalen Hurts is going to hold on to the ball forever. And Spagnuolo is always going to get a few blitzes through. Like, that's just what he does. And are those going to be hugely disastrous play, like the fumble in the previous Super Bowl or like negative 17-yard sacks, which you've seen out of Jalen Hurts? And then you think, like, well, actually, he played amazing against the blitz in the Super Bowl last year. Like, he was probably the better quarterback on the field that night. Or it was, you know, pick your poison, two of the best performances I've ever seen. And that does give me a little bit of confidence that Jalen Hurts, a little bit in the secondary role and performed well against Spagnuolo in the past.
Yeah, Nate and Charles and I were talking about this on Football 301, that really, like, the Jalen Hurts blitz stuff is mostly, like, are they playing man or zone on the back end? Because to me, if, like, yeah, if you play man coverage against this Eagles team, you know you're going to get fried. Jalen Hurts has 11.9 adjusted yards per attempt in the playoffs against blitzes with man coverage on the back end. It drops down to, like, 6.2. When there's zone on the back end. And again, like, remember when Jalen had the quote after the Steelers game, you know, is that what y'all wanted to see? And it's like, well, I mean, yes, but also, like, we know that they can do that. We know that, like, a man-heavy team like that that plays a bunch of single high, we know that the Eagles can tread that that type of defense, but that's not what Kansas City is. Even if they do throw a lot of man coverage at you on early downs, they throw a lot of these blitzes on late downs with zone on the back end. So that's what I'm, like, most curious about when the Eagles are trying to throw the ball.
It's very disarming when he gives these little, like, passive aggressive shots in terms of, like, the straight jackets off, but he's up there and he's like, you know, he looks like a 90s R&B star. He's, like, too good looking. You're like, oh wait, is he's taking, like, a shot at us?
Here's a stupid question for you, Greg. Has the world, like, gone too far on the Jalen Hurts stuff? I mean, because I think he's gotten, like, too bad of a rap during this postseason run, because it's pitched as, like, oh, the Eagles are this great roster and they don't have one of the elite quarterbacks. I don't think we put Jalen Hurts in that tier, but he's so good at executing what this offense needs. And I feel like we've gone, random straw men I'm pointing to here, have almost given him too much crap through this Eagles run.
Well, yeah. And he just played the best game of his season, I think, in the NFC Championship game, which is, like, what you like to see. And you think about that Pittsburgh game and different moments throughout the season. I think you're absolutely right. Like, different, there's not as big of a gap, let's say, between a Jared Goff and a Jalen Hurts. They both are kind of doing what their offense is asking them to execute. There's the unicorns, and he's not one of those guys, but his strengths, like vertical downhill power running and what that opens up for the offense, accuracy just in general, he's a very accurate passer when he actually makes a decision. And then great go balls. Like, that's a great combination, and you're
it's pretty cool.
like most teams would absolutely love to have that, and he is not the platonic ideal of like Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes or Lamar, but it's like, neither are 26 other starters.
You know what I think it is too? And I'm guilty of this, because, like, when I'm charting receivers and stuff, I love watching routes over the middle. And I think it's just so impressive when you can, as a receiver, you can break off against man coverage on, like, a deep dig or something like that, and the quarterback just pins it on you. And, like, that's not who Jalen Hurts is. But it's also pretty sick when you have A.J. Brown and you can just dunk on people with go balls, and why not lean into them?
And they're perfect.
Yeah.
They're a little Russell Wilson-like. You're, like, hitting me with a lot of, like, 401 stuff. Do you ever feel worried that you, like, save the better stuff for your fantasy for this podcast and don't give the 301 stuff as good? Is there, like, a rivalry there?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, this is my show. So if one's going to be good, it has to be this one.
Loyalty.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I'm on too many podcasts. That's objectively true. But last thing before we move to the Chiefs here, if I had to put your feet to the fire, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, who leads this team in receiving on Sunday?
I've been riding the Goddard idea this whole time. I really do. Although, I do think it's a little underplayed that you talk about how young the Eagles defense is and everything, and then you think, okay, who's in the back end of the Chiefs? Like, Jalen Watson, Jaden Hicks, Brian Cook, Shamari Connor, maybe a little Najee Johnson. There are five names where you don't normally hear on literally, like, any preview of the show.
Yeah.
And yet there will be more than a few plays where they are literally matched up against AJ freaking Brown and Devonta Smith. So I've just talked myself into going to AJ Brown just because I love AJ Brown so much. So I changed my answer.
I kind of want to talk myself into Devonta Smith just because the Eagles have, the Chiefs have been so porous at defending the slot all season. And some of that is just like the way the scheme works and everything. But, and he's been in the slot on like 55, 56% of his routes all season. And he's such a great, I mean, this is the thing, you're, you're picking between three great players, so there's really no, I don't think there's a wrong answer here, and though you will be wrong at some point. So I've been trying to talk myself into Devontae Smith, but I like the Goddard point. I think there's going to be a couple of, if Kellen Moore is dialed in on this game and not thinking about the Saints head coaching job, I do think we'll see a couple of cool designs like we did in the NFC.
I would be a little worried about that like Kellen Moore is like putting together his staff and
yeah,
I don't know. It's the first trouble. Time doing it. Devontae Smith, though, to your point, believe he led the last Super Bowl in receiving. So he can do it again.
That sounds about right. Okay, let's move to when the Chiefs have the ball. My first question here is, can you do anything to get me excited about the Chiefs run game at all? I made this joke on Football 301. What a coup that Isaiah Pacheco is the second player on the banner here next to Mahomes after the season that we've just had.
Little weird. Not even the number one running back at this point.
No.
I think I would get excited that Kareem Hunt, after 3 weeks off, essentially, was a different player.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, he's just that bull in a china shop, like, running style that's kind of fun. I mean, he's certainly not Marshawn Lynch or anything, but maybe give him, like, Chris Carson. Like, he just running over some people. And I really think the time off benefited him and Mahomes so much. I thought they just both looked a lot fresher, and that's why they've kind of stuck with him.
Yeah, it's crazy. If you look at, like, on fantasy points data, they have runs break down by, like, zone runs and gap runs. The Chiefs are their second in the regular season and postseason in gap run success rate and sixth in zone rushing success rate, but they're under 4 yards per carry in both, which I think is, like, the perfect way to describe the Chiefs' run game. They just, like, 3.5 yards, 3.5 yards, 3.5 yards, but it just keeps them moving and keeps them on schedule, and then Mahomes converts on third down.
And I feel like in the playoffs, it's been some more 5, 6, 7s here and there, him breaking tackles to the point where, yeah, I expect it to be a Kareem Hunt game. I do think that's going to be a better way to, there's not a great way to attack this Eagles defense, which to me is the best defense in the league, but I think you're going to have to run it pretty consistently.
I also think it's the best defense in the league. Okay, let's talk about the Chiefs passing game here. And this is where I have a couple of props to give out. I know I've been light on the props on this show, but this is where, even though I like the over on Devontae Smith, 51.5 receiving yards, that's one I like. This one I've got a few as well here, but Chiefs passing game, the receivers, Mahomes, Kelsey, you take it from there.
Oh, okay.
Where does your mind go to first?
The speed of the Chiefs now versus the speed of the Chiefs in week 15-16. I think Hollywood Brown had, like, sneaky unlocked this team. Xavier Worthy's maturation, you know, I'm talking to the GOAT here about, like, the receiver crew, so I almost feel like I'm not worthy, but
unintentional pun.
His route tree and the way they trust him and that they're kind of building some of the offense around him is special, but also when I'm watching that tape from the last couple of weeks, it's like, oh yeah, this team is no longer the slowest team in the league.
Yeah.
Actually, there's some routes where it's like they're both doing comebacks and it's like, oh yeah, that's a great little combo and they're both open on them, Marquise Brown and Xavier Worthy. And I think Worthy's more the one, but I do think Brown's speed is helping to open it up for Worthy. So they are really not that team that they were in week 10 because of that speed. And it's a tough matchup against this secondary, but I think they're way more equipped to deal with it than they would have been if they had played at midseason.
And they're a tough, the Eagles are like a tough defense to pin down coverage-wise because they can really throw a little bit of anything at you. But yeah, Worthy to me, and I've been talking about this on the show, is they really have just kind of, you know, remember in early season, midway of the year, everybody's like gotten all these clips about, look at these missed deep opportunities between Mahomes and Xavier Worthy. Like, when those start connecting, like, then this is going to be real something. They just basically ditched that.
Yeah.
They're just like, no, forget it. We're actually going to try to weaponize his speed on, like, horizontal breaking routes and, like, quick hitters. And he is 6 yards per route run against man coverage in the playoffs, which is bonkers to Xavier Worthy. And it's mostly, to me, like, you get him in the slot where he's, like, 50-50 slot outside, and he's just, like, a little quick flat route, and he's just wide open against man, and then he's just going to outrun DeMar Hamlin to the pylon.
Right. They will be able to get some mismatches, and you do think about how Zach Ertz ate in that NFC Championship game, and you do think about, okay, well, what is that matchup? Kelsey on Reed Blankenship. Kelsey on Oren Burks.
Yeah.
Like, is Oren Burks going to be an unfortunate, huge part of back-to-back Super Bowl losses? Like, that would keep me up at night if I was Vic Fangio.
Yeah, and I mean, it really is, when you just look at the receivers, Worthy has been their answer against man, and Kelsey's been their answer against zone. But I'm glad that you brought up Marquise Brown, because I think he's getting a little overlooked right now because he hasn't had, like, a big statistical game. But they're trying to get him deep passes. Like, I like the over on Worthy's 5.5 catches at plus odds. I think he gets at least 6-7 catches in this one. From a Hollywood Brown standpoint, the one prop I like is the over 18.5 longest reception. I'm trying to grow my longest reception acceptance level, because I typically hate it. I hate betting it as a prop, but I've tried to find the right spots to pick it this year, and I think this is the one.
That one would keep you up at night, though. Like, our friend Patrick Claiborne, I think, has nightmares about what Marquise Brown did to those Ravens
teams. Yeah, that's a fair point.
I kind of think I'm with you, though. I think, first of all, he's made a couple plays, and I do think he opens up things, but I feel like he'll be an inordinately big part of this game, good or bad. Kind of like Oren Burks. Like, you could see him being a problem for the Chiefs or a problem for the Eagles, but he's got to matter, I feel like, in this game.
I think so, too. And I do think that's he was a good signing. It just obviously didn't work out because of the injury. But I wonder if he's back in Kansas City next year.
I've been doing the free agency rankings. I've started to do that. And I think he's already made himself some money in the playoffs. There's no free agent wide receivers.
They're all like guys that we were excited about 3 years ago.
It's literally T. Higgins, who may or may not get there. And like, Hollywood Brown's probably my number two.
Yeah, I'd probably go Godwin number two, but he's coming off of an injury,
right?
And I mean, so is Hollywood. I don't know. It's not an exciting class. It's not an exciting class of free agent wide receivers, that's for sure. All right, Greg, anything else that people should keep their eye on? I'm going to get your pick, score, the whole thing.
That's what I was doing.
But before that, anything else you've got your eye on that people need to know in the Super Bowl?
I just think about the protection that Mahomes has had pretty well in the playoffs, although Tooney, I think, has gotten a little too much pop in left tackle. And I think about that four-man rush that the Eagles have. I do think that if you flip the sides and think about the Chiefs pass rush against the Eagles, and then think about the Eagles versus the Chiefs, I do think they can get him maybe to hold the ball a little longer like he was earlier in the season and make some mistakes, because I do think they have a lot of advantages. They are a lot better than they were a year ago at this point. And then you add Brandon Graham to that mix and Nolan Smith and Carter, and Milton Williams was maybe the best pass rusher in the NFC Championship. And that's just a lot of dudes and a lot of flexibility. And the Chiefs offensive line has just been a little up and down at points. And so I do think that could be an advantage there for Philly.
Yeah. And I mean, Milton Williams, another guy who could make himself, he's probably already made himself a lot of money. He could make himself even more money in this game. He's going to probably be the one, if you just look at where like Jalen Carter lines up and Milton Williams lines up, Williams is going to be the guy that's going against Mike, don't call me Frank, Caliendo. So that could definitely be something to keep your eye on there. All right, Greg, who's winning this game? Who's the MVP? And what's the final score?
Okay. I'm going Eagles 32, Chiefs 39. I mean 29 rather. I think it's another high scoring game. I was shocked that the number was that low on a field that we know the conditions are going to be good. And although the field probably helped the offenses out last time either way. But I'm going Jalen Hurts. I think people will like the story of this overlooked quarterback. Even though Saquon Barkley like has a really good game, it's so hard for the running backs to get it. And I think there'll be more advantages there for the passing game and Hurts, and he ends up having a good rushing day as well. And so I always default to the quarterbacks. He gets the MVP, and he backs up what was like one of the best 10 quarterback performances I've ever seen in the Super Bowl. They happen to come up short, and he gets it done this time.
And when he does, people will be like, man, remember when Greg Rosenthal called him like a 90s R&B star and Matt Harmon said he was, you know, maybe getting a little bit too much crap. But despite all that, I'm going to go Chiefs 31, Eagles 28. I also think it's a higher scoring
game. I feel
game.
Honored that I was here for the Harmon actually picks the score part of the show.
You're the freaking headliner of the
show, bro.
Like,
let's go.
Yeah, this is
you
it.
You got Malik Nabers.
Yeah, well, you know, Malik Nabers, Greg Rosenthal, who's proven more in the NFL space so far? Malik Nabers, great rookie season, or longtime entrenched veteran superstar podcaster Greg Rosenthal? Greg, appreciate you joining me. Tell the people about NFL Daily where they can subscribe.
I mean, it's in the name, NFL Daily, wherever you get your podcast. We are keeping it going in the offseason.
I like how you, because I listened to your first episode, or one of the early episodes where you said that I'm discovering that NFL Daily is not only the title, but also a bit of a promise and a threat.
Yeah, in a way of life. Yeah. I didn't like fully think about that, but appreciate it.
I do 5 episodes during the season, and I'm proud as hell of you that you're doing it.
We haven't done it yet.
Too.
We haven't done it yet.
Well, you check in with me in July and see how it goes. Greg, appreciate you. We're going to take a quick break. We come back. Caroline Fenton's going to join me to talk about your feelings around the Super Bowl, but more importantly, what to look forward to in this year's draft right after this. And we're back from the Toyota Land Cruiser set here at the Super Bowl in New Orleans. And joining us now is another first-time guest. It is Yahoo Sports' own Caroline Fenton, host of the College Football Power Hour. Caroline, what's going on?
Happy to be here, finally. I mean, first-time guest, you couldn't have had me on your show a little bit earlier.
Well,
Took us being together in New Orleans for the Super Bowl to get the invite?
Yeah, I mean, don't take it personally, but I do try to vet every guest before they come on. And listen, I don't remember getting the invite to your show.
Touche. normally I like to do vetting for all of our guests, and I want to make sure we have quality guests on the show, and you just didn't necessarily.
And I was definitely not a quality guest.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally fair.
Please don't take it personal.
Well, I have, but I'm going to try to move past it. So again, early in the show, we talked with Greg and we did all the nerd stuff, deep diving into the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You and I are going to talk about two things today. We're going to, number one, talk a little Super Bowl stuff, but also a little bit of idiot's guide to this year's draft. And I'm the idiot, to be clear. I have done no work on the draft to talk about this often. Once this game is over, then my attention is going to go to the draft. So that's going to be great. You're going to help me get a little bit prepared for it before I dive into all that. But first, I do want to talk a little Super Bowl here, Caroline.
Let's do it.
And again, we're not going to do any of the nerd deep dive scheme, blah, 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 all that stuff we did earlier.
Nerds.
And absolutely, yes, nerd stuff. But you and I were talking about this earlier, and I told you how on this show a few weeks ago, Andy Behrens and I ranked the potential Super Bowl matchups, and we both put this Chiefs-Eagles game at 4th. And, you know, generally it seems like there's a vibe around the Super Bowl that people are not excited. We don't want to see Mahomes again.
Right.
The Eagles, it would have been cooler if it was the Lions or the Commanders or yada yada, on and on.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I have a tendency to be like, no, listen, you should appreciate every game is its own beautiful little snowflake. Every matchup could be, look at those man coverage stats with AJ Brown and all this stuff, deep diving into it.
Again, nerd.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
nerd. So
yeah.
I want you to be the voice of the people. Should we or should we not be excited about this Super Bowl?
I'm not going to tell you how you should feel.
Okay.
Because I feel like there's been a lot of gaslighting going on around football spaces of you should embrace getting the opportunity and the privilege to watch history being made and greatness being achieved. If you feel that way, that's great. Then you're going to enjoy the hell out of this Super Bowl. If you don't feel that way, which is how I feel, I'm kind of over it, frankly. I think that's totally fair and justified. Look, it's still the Super Bowl. It's two of the best teams in the league, teams in the league. It's going to be an awesome game. I know it's going to come down to a call here, a play there, a yard that you get or don't get there, a field goal potentially. Like it will truly be a game of inches. And that's exciting to watch. I think I'm just over all of the Patrick Mahomes of it all. I'm over the Chiefs of it all. I'm kind of over, I know we saw it 2 years ago, but like I'm kind of over these two teams and these two franchises, understanding that we could have had the Bills and the Lions or the Bills and the Commanders in this game. Three franchises that have been so starved for success for the longest time. And look, we're looking at it with the ticket prices. It went down 30% over the last couple of weeks. There's still $8,000.
Really?
Like, it's still Super Bowl. Like, there's still, I still can't afford it.
I was just saying, how many did you buy?
You know, like, a couple for all my, you know, rich friends. But, like, it's still $8,000. It's still the Super Bowl. But I think it's just kind of indicative of these are two fan bases that have been here before. And these are two fan bases that feel pretty confident that they're going to get back in the next couple of years. So I don't think that we're alone in feeling like this is just same stuff, different day.
And again, that's why I kind of wanted to have you here, because I know I'm trying to be self-aware. I know I can go down the rabbit hole of like I'm trying to cape up for the freaking Super Bowl. The Super Bowl does not need me to cape up for it. Football, the NFL does not need me to cape up for this game and make
no,
it.
No, football needs you.
Well, no, it does not.
Yeah,
if there's one, if there's one thing everybody should know about the game, is you are expendable. Whether you play it, whether you coach it, whether you cover it, you can be replaced.
And so whether you're not gonna watch it, like enough of the yes. I'm boycotting the Super Bowl. Okay. 150 million other people are going to watch it. Okay, they're not going to miss you, I promise.
And that's the fair and balanced stuff we can expect from you, Caroline Fenton, because I did want to get this, just wanted to get that out of the way, that yes, if you're listening to this and you're trying to get into the Super Bowl and you can't quite get there and you got dorks like me telling you, yeah, no, you appreciate greatness, appreciate history and all of that, it's okay to just be more of what Caroline's at, and it's just, hey, it's not what you wanted. But you also don't have to be, you know, look at me performative, like I'm boycotting this, whatever.
Still going to watch it.
I like it. All right, let's transition to topic number two, which is the idiot, me, trying to figure out the NFL draft this year. Listen, allegedly, it's not that great of a draft, but you are somebody who covers college football.
Yeah.
You're, you know, completely deep into it. How should we, that are those of us who are just now getting acquainted with this draft, what's the vibe around the whole thing?
First of all, we're all idiots here, so it's okay.
Room full of idiots here.
Everyone's an idiot. It's okay. We love you all the same. But I think this gets labeled a quote-unquote bad draft because it doesn't have the big star quarterback names or just the volume or maybe that one guy that everyone views as the guy, like the Caleb Williams of last season
right.
or whether it was Trevor Lawrence a couple of seasons ago. That draws up so much more interest. There's still a lot of speculation of, will a quarterback go number one overall? Just how desirable of a year is it to have the number one overall pick? I personally don't think it's a great year to have the number one overall pick. But I think one interesting element of this season, of this specific draft, is defensive players and running backs. Like, this was the year of the running back in college football. And I think there's a trickle-up effect into the NFL as well. You know, Saquon having an MVP caliber season, Derrick Henry, what he was doing, Aaron Jones in the year he had in Minnesota. But if you look at the college football playoff, almost every single team was largely carried by or almost entirely carried by their running back. Cam Scadaboo at Arizona State. Arizona State had a first-round bye in the college football playoff. Whether you agree with that or not, they did.
It's and a thing that happened.
It was a thing that happened, and it was a real thing. And it was because of what Cam Scadaboo did for Arizona State. You look at Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson, two guys that are draft eligible. They were a massive part of what Ohio State wanted to do offensively. Obviously, their offensive play caller is Chip Kelly. They're going to run the football. Ashton Jeanty at Boise State. We talked about a Boise State running back on almost every single college football power hour. When was the last time that that's ever happened in the history of college football? And it's because of the greatness that Ashton Jeanty brought. So I think this running back class, this year as a whole in college football, was the year of the running back.
Yeah, and we talked about this from a fantasy perspective. 9 of the top 25 players on league-winning teams this past year were rookies. I don't necessarily know if we're going to get another year like that if the first thing that you're telling me here is like defensive players, right? And there's not maybe not that, and we'll come back to quarterbacks, but there might not be that transformational quarterback like a Jaden Daniels who's going to come in and be like a, again, a top 10 fantasy top 5 fantasy producer at that position. Maybe there's not that. But running backs, I mean, if you can nail the right running back rookie pick, whether it is in your dynasty rookie draft or it's like a sleeper in a redraft, and we get them into the right drink ecosystem, which this is the Saquon Barkley story. This is the Derrick Henry story. These legendary talents get to the right spot. Then I think we could be potentially looking at some of those league-winning picks this year.
Yeah, instant impact kind of guys. I think it's going to be huge. And another thing, too, about this draft that maybe doesn't make it feel overly sexy is there aren't any big-time receiver names, or maybe many big-time receiver names. Like, you look back at last year, it was Rome Odunze, it was Marvin Harrison Jr., it was Malik Nabers, and the whole conversation was, how do you rank those receivers? And three top 10 guys, eventually. You have Tyrone McMillan from Arizona, you have Luther Burden from Missouri, who I think was projected to be a top 5 pick, but didn't have a huge season at Missouri this past year, so he's kind of fallen on some draft boards. So those, like, sexy impact players, those kind of positions, they aren't in great supply in this year's draft, but it doesn't mean that there aren't some instant impact kind of players.
I will say, from the receiver position, and again, I haven't done my work on these guys. I haven't started charting them for reception perception. I'm going to get there, and I'm going to get there pretty soon with this, because we're going to have some interesting draft content coming to the feed here pretty shortly. There's a little teaser there. However, haven't done my work on them. But, like, I think when you describe this class to me, yeah, it doesn't sound like last year where I had three guys in my first tier of, like, prospect rankings. Yeah. But even a couple years ago in 2022, I had Drake London, Garrett Wilson, and Chris Olave all ranked in that first tier. But the class between those, 23, no first-tier prospects and really only one second-tier prospect, which was Jaxon Smith-Njigba. But the funny thing there, Caroline, is that if these guys do fall in the draft, then they actually end up going to better teams, like yeah. more stable environments. And, I mean, JSN is coming off a revelatory breakout second season. Obviously, this is a stupid example because he wasn't a first-round pick, but Puka Nacua was a great producer as a rookie because he landed in the right spot. Even Zay Flowers with the Ravens,
yeah.
Jordan Addison with the Vikings gets to run across from Justin Jefferson. So that's going to be the key with these receivers is if they do get pushed down the board, that could actually be better for their long-term production outlook.
100%. I mean, you look at Malik Nabers has been pretty outspoken about his situation with the
Giants. We're going to talk about it later in this show.
Yeah, he's pretty outspoken about that. And also, I think an important thing to point out, you bring up Jaden Daniels and his massive, I mean, just impact as a whole, but mm-hmm. his massive fantasy production this past season. Jaden Daniels wasn't really talked about as someone who could be that kind of guy, as the mm-hmm. kind of guy that could come in to an organization that has been swimming through the sea of suck for so long, the butt of every single joke in the NFL, and come in and bring them to the NFC Championship game. Obviously, Jaden Daniels got enough hype to be the number two overall pick, but he wasn't hyped up to be that kind of guy. Yeah. So even if some of these guys aren't getting, the airtime that they deserve or like the hype that you think they probably should get, or maybe there are people saying, oh, this guy is going to be a bust. Nobody has any idea. It is the most imperfect science.
Absolutely, yeah. The draft is it's a moving target at the very least.
Yeah.
I do love that point though about the receivers and things like that. I mean, even look at Brian Thomas Jr.
Yeah.
He wasn't supposed to be the best of that class last year, but I think he was the best on film, and he went in the 20s. And I think that could be interesting for this receiver class as well. I want to circle back to the quarterbacks, and I want to circle back to the number one overall pick. Mm-hmm. You live in Nashville. You covered the Titans for 3 years.
Yep.
They do have the first pick. Are you just saying, like, let's write this bad boy in pen right now? They're not taking a quarterback first, or do you think they could be talked into one of these guys?
That's hard to say.
Very unfair question for you, but I did it anyways.
Well, and I think it's hard to say mostly because so much of this regime is so new. Brian Callahan coming into year two, Mike Borgonzi coming in as the GM was just hired less than a month ago. So it's hard to get a grasp on what their draft style is, what the draft philosophy is. But one thing that Mike Borgonzi said, talking about his time with the Chiefs, is first we have to solidify the quarterback position.
Yeah.
It's really easy for you to say that when you have Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah,
but when he was talking about solidifying the quarterback position, he wasn't talking about Patrick Mahomes. He was talking about Alex Smith. Mm. So a guy that's maybe not the sexiest name. It's a guy that maybe isn't the biggest name. And it's a guy that's not the biggest fish in the pond. But it's a guy that can come in and can be super effective for you. And he can just be a placeholder in the quarterback position. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the route that the Titans decide to go down. To go and find their Sam Darnold. To be a plug in play for the next 2 or 3 years, and he's not your franchise quarterback, but he's a guy that can come in and be pretty effective for you. I've said before, I think the perfect kind of guy for the Titans is Ryan Tannehill. Mm. I understand Ryan Tannehill's 36 and he's past his prime in his career, but it's what he was
a
for the Titans. A version of Ryan Tannehill and what he was for the Titans when he was the starting quarterback for the Titans. So I'm not willing to put it in pen, but I'd be close to it. It's too early in the process to say, and they haven't even met with Cam Ward yet. I don't even know if they've met with Shador Sanders yet, but I'm pretty close to it. If I were the Titans, I can't say what the Titans are going to do, but if I were the Titans, first thing I would do is start fielding calls about the first overall pick.
Yeah.
How big of a haul can I get in return? Hard to do that in a year when there isn't that number one guy that everyone is saying this is going to be the savior of your franchise. But if you don't get a return that's good enough for what you think the pick is worth, take Abdul Carter. Mm-hmm. Take the edge rusher out of Penn State. No such thing in the draft is a quote-unquote sure thing. But Abdul Carter is really good. And I'm kind of the philosophy that if you take a defensive player, more specifically an edge rusher or a defensive lineman, in the first 3 rounds of every draft, you're probably going to be pretty good if you just continue to stockpile talent at that position. So if the Titans stick and pick, I would take Abdul Carter.
And listen, I mean, these two teams that are in the Super Bowl here, I mean, one of them for sure is just built through the trenches. Yeah. Obviously, Philadelphia. And mm-hmm. they've never at any point been like, we're set. We're good. Like, we don't need more edge rushers. We don't need more interior disruptors.
We don't need Jalen Carter. We're good.
Yeah, no, exactly. They've continued to solidify that position. They get great impact from a guy like Milton Williams. Yeah. That's why they're here. That's why it's so crazy. I mean, I know it's almost, you know, it's a long time ago now that Doug Peterson, Nick Foles Super Bowl was, but it's just crazy to think about those two teams, how different they are, like that one to these two that have been to the Super Bowl recently. And it's because they've been strong in the trenches. Like, that's the continual theme there. And I think, obviously, Kansas City has Chris Jones. He's a big part of why they continue to be here. The biggest reason is 15, and it's Andy Reid. But, I mean, right after that, it is Chris Jones and what they're able to do on defense. So it's not a bad idea. Like, you can never have too many defensive linemen.
And there's different – I think that the Eagles and the Chiefs are the two perfect examples of the different ways that you can win in the NFL. Obviously, the first path that you'd love to go down is to find your Patrick Mahomes,
yeah.
is to find your elite franchise quarterback. Those guys aren't just roaming the streets. And if they are, you got to get really lucky and be really bad at the perfect time and beat the Cincinnati Bengals and luck into the first overall pick in a draft in which Joe Burrow is getting drafted.
Or, as you're just saying, groom them. Like, groom them. So, yeah. I mean, I think the Tennessee could be not a Ryan Tannehill destination, but looking for that type of guy.
Yeah.
A Derek Carr, you know, who, I mean.
Well, say that name in this city.
I get it. Well, no, they want me to say it in this city. Like, get him out of here.
Derek Carr, good quarterback. The GMs that are listening.
Yeah, say it louder. Get him going. But no, I mean, he's a guy that Callahan has some familiarity with mm-hmm. back to the Raiders days. He was his quarterback coach. And he could be a guy who can just come in and give you solid replacement level play, which is what Alex Smith was giving them before, you know, they had the Tyreek Hill of it all, and that really exploded there in Kansas yeah. City. And then, but then they're able to build this like incubator for Mahomes. And I think that's if I'm guessing, and I'm with you, I'm not going to write it in pen yet, but I think that's probably the direction that Tennessee goes.
And that's the alternative way to win. The Philadelphia Eagles, maybe a playbook of getting to the Super Bowl. And that's not a diss to Jalen Hurts in the slightest, but I don't view Jalen Hurts in the same tier of quarterback that I view Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow and Josh Allen. He is the beneficiary of insane talent around him. One of the best offensive lines in the entire NFL with Devontae yeah. Smith and AJ Brown, and one of the best defenses in the NFL. That, I think, is the more tangible model of success sure. in the NFL. When you don't have that elite quarterback, it's a support system around the quarterback, and that comes from drafting well. And Tennessee, over the last 5 years, have missed on a lot of drafts, if not every single draft.
You know, you're almost back around to getting excited about this Super Bowl. You're talking about how good the Eagles roster is. We're talking about how interesting the Chiefs build is.
They're good teams. Okay, hot take.
Yeah.
Two teams in the Super Bowl are good teams within a very intriguing last couple of years. But I am excited about the Super Bowl. It's the Super Bowl. Of course I'm excited. It just lacks a little bit of
newness, a little bit of
buzz, a little bit of freshness, a little bit of newness. And I'm kind of feeling it almost a little bit in the city as well. It's lacking a little bit of, we're in New Orleans, je ne sais quoi, if you will.
There we go. I mean, first time that's been said on the show, for sure. Last thing here before I let you go about this class. What is new uh-huh. is the tone around the tight end position. Yeah. Typically, the last few years, it's been like, maybe one guy. Maybe we're going to sell ourselves on Kyle Pitts, and that's never going to work out. It's supposed to be a great tight end class.
Yeah.
True or false?
Tyler Warren's in it.
Yeah.
So true.
Okay.
Tyler Warren is an absolute freak. And if you haven't watched any of his highlights at Penn State, I highly recommend. I was covering the Fiesta Bowl for SiriusXM, and we were talking about like a Drew Aller's first touchdown pass of the game. They're talking about how great of a pass it was. It's not giving Drew Aller any credit for that. It was a much better catch than it was a throw from Drew Aller. And it was Tyler Warren, who's like a ballerina, but he's also 6'5", 280 pounds. Tyler Warren is an absolute freak. I don't want to call him the next Brock Bowers, because I do think that Brock Bowers, what he did in college, his production in year one in the league, I don't want to call it unprecedented, and I don't want to say that it's something that can't be achieved.
It was record-breaking, so.
So I guess it is unprecedented, and I want to say that that's a level that no one else can reach, because it's a tangible thing that Tyler Warren or any other tight end in this class could achieve, but Tyler Warren is, I would say, up there amongst the hype that a tight end should get up there with the amount of hype that Brock Bowers got last season.
Well, bringing it all the way back around to dorks, there's a lot of us dorks who have just been spinning our wheels at the tight end position in our dynasty leagues.
Yeah.
Some of us are sick enough to basically, you know, like last person at the bar, well, Taysom Hill, you can get some cheap points in this tight end spot. Like, let's go ahead and do that. And again, some of us, not naming names, but if you're watching us on YouTube, you can see who it is, are very excited to hear that you're saying this about Tyler Warren. So I'm hoping to find my way to him in some dynasty drafts if he lands in the right spot. We landed in a great spot here in New Orleans.
Yes, we did.
With you on the show. Appreciate you, Caroline. Tell the people what you're working on, where they can follow you, where they can listen to your show, all the things.
Yeah, absolutely. You can follow me on Twitter at CarolineFenton1. I also host the College Football Power Hour on Yahoo Sports, which will now become the College Basketball Power Hour. So make sure to tune in around March Madness. There are other sports other than football, contrary to popular belief.
Contrary to Matt Harmon's belief.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at CarolineFenton1. You can find me at Yahoo Sports and on SiriusXM College.
Let's do it. All right. Well, I'm definitely going to be listening to your show during college basketball season so I can actually maybe, you know, have like one good round in the bracket.
You're not going to.
I'm not going to, but at least it will be a good show.
No one will.
Appreciate you, Caroline. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, welcome back here to the Toyota Land Cruiser set at the Super Bowl. We've got two great interviews with three great wide receivers to get to here. We've got Malik Nabers of the New York Giants and Roma Dunze and DJ Moore of the Chicago Bears. Let's take a listen. Malik, what's going on, man?
What's going on? How you doing?
I'm doing great, but I'm curious how you are doing. How's the offseason so far? Season's in the books. Coming off your rookie year, anything in year one that surprised you?
Right now, you know, off season has been going good. You know, taking the time out, traveling the world, seeing some things I never saw before. Things that, you know, has been exciting about my rookie year. You know, it was just a learning experience, great opportunity. Did a lot of great things this season, broke a lot of records. So,
yeah.
Felt like, you know, that one's in the book leading on to next year. You know, I'm kind of hoping for the same.
What's something you did learn from your rookie year that you maybe didn't see coming?
These guys hit.
Yeah.
They hit.
Even though you play in the SEC, it's the best college conference, the whole thing. Those guys are big and fast. These guys are bigger and faster.
Oh, way, way different. Got a lot of tackles breaking in college, you know. When I got hit in the SEC, it really wasn't really that tough.
Yeah.
But right now, it's pretty extreme.
Well, that's funny because I would say that so my work is with wide receivers. I have a series called Reception Perception. I chart routes, but I also chart plays in space, like yards after catch opportunities. I called you on my site the best after catch prospect I've charted since 2021, so the last four or five draft classes, whatever.
Thank you.
Well, I appreciate of course. What goes into being that type of player in the open field?
I'll probably say knowing where all defenders are and where they're going to be. If you can read the defense, it kind of determines, you know, how you want to run your route. You know, you get that picture right before, you know, you're looking for the ball is where that defender is coming from. So, you know, you have a good space in your head about, you know guys trigger fast, you know, they fast. So you kind of like brace yourself a little bit, but also keep, you know, your body stable for you to bounce off that tackle and always keep your feet running.
Right. So, yeah, everybody, like we said, in the league is big, fast, physical. There's more to it than that. There's like a spatial awareness concept to being an after catch player.
Yeah, I mean, you know, especially in the league, you know, those guys, you know, they running fast, but they also wrapping up. So it's kind of hard to break some tackles because they wrapping up. More of the time, you know, if you find that one guy that wants to just try to create a big play, a big hit, you know, you can really bounce off of that. But most of the time, you know, a lot of guys wrap up.
Was there somebody in the league that kind of took you by surprise? Like, oh, I think I can make this guy miss or whatever. And he got the better of you.
I'll probably say those guys from Dallas.
Yeah.
Those safeties from Dallas, they're pretty good. You know, I thought I could like create a little juke move to get away. Nah, they was on that.
Okay, they can fly around a little bit. Like I said, charting routes, that's kind of my whole thing. What's your favorite route to run and what do you think is your best route to run?
Favorite route to run is probably a 10-yard stop.
Okay.
Stop route. Pretty good at that. And what you said? The least favorite?
Oh no, what is your best and then what's your favorite to run?
Oh, okay. I'm gonna change that up then. Favorite to run is probably any kind of double move.
Okay.
I love running double moves. I think I'm good at that. My best route I like to run is this 10-yard stop route.
That's funny because, like I said, I have on my notes what I thought you might pick. I thought maybe like a deep slot fade, something like that, where you can create a little bit of separation
there. That one too,
Also, that deep stop route. It's funny, I talked to Jamar Chase a couple years ago. He had like the same answer because I think you guys are pretty similar players where you catch up on people with not just your speed down the field, but your savviness as well. And that's really where I think you can create that miles of separation at the, like that deep curl or comeback right there. Transitioning now to year two, what's something you think you can improve on going into this year?
Making sure my body is as healthy as it can be during the season. You know, the season pretty long. I think we're trying to add a new game, extra game to it. So
they're trying to add that extra game.
Yeah, so, you know, keeping your body healthy through on the year. Got to find a better way of doing that. I feel like every week it was something new, whether something was wrong, you know, something was a bruise was going on. Couldn't really move my foot well. So probably just trying to keep my body as healthy as possible through the season.
What's something about playing wide receiver that maybe the public doesn't think about enough, maybe they overlook?
I feel like everybody say that's probably the easiest position to play on the football field. Yeah, but you have to beat the man in front of you and beat the other guys around you. So it's not really that easy as you think. And then you got to catch a ball from a QB. You don't know where it's going to be. You don't know how fast it's coming. You don't know who might distract you. You got to make sure your feet is good. It's a lot of stuff that go into it. So, you know, it's pretty challenging on, especially when you got to get off the line of scrimmage. They might have a longer dude on you playing somebody different in the week. And then you got to still make plays when you're out there. You got to catch the ball. It might come a time where you drop the easiest ball that comes to you. You might drop a wide open pass and everybody might be like, that was the easiest catch. But it's more that goes into it. You know, you might find a time where you just like take your eyes off the football. You're trying to make a big play and you might drop the ball.
Well, and you mentioned like you're trying to get that timing down with quarterbacks. Right. You played with four guys in your rookie year, obviously coming off a great quarterback with Jaden Daniels in college. What's the ideal Malik Nabers quarterback if you could just dream one up?
First, I gotta go with the offensive line. I mean,
you
know, offensive line makes that quarterback. So, gotta get somebody that can protect that guy. I'll probably say somebody that has crazy arm talent, very accurate, mobile out the pocket, can create plays with his feet. You know, that keeps the extra first downs going. It keeps the defense coming down. So, you know, it's better for a receiver when, you know, your quarterback is like that to make plays down the field.
I mean, this is a real football guy right here talking like, yeah, offensive line first, then we'll talk about quarterback. Yeah. All right, you're here with Pepsi. Tell me what you got going on with Pepsi.
You know, Pepsi Zero Sugar we got going on this year. I've been nominated for Rookie of the Year, you know, voted by the fans. So I guess I've been doing a great job on the field, you know, creating that little spark plays. My dance move's been good this year. you know, we're going against, you know, Coke Diet Sugar this week. You know, they're bringing that back. So I'm excited to be a part of that and, you know, compete again while I'm out here.
A lot of really good rookies this year. Yourself, Jaden Daniels, Brian Thomas Jr., you three guys together, former LSU players. Who's going to have the best career?
That's really hard, bro. That's really hard. We all started off very strong, and we all, you know, we all push each other every week to try to, you know, create big plays. So Pepsi was one of those things that we competed on, who can win Rookie of the Week every week. Jaden took that by storm, so, you know, we had to hear that every week. But I feel like we're all going to have a very successful career.
I appreciate what you guys are bringing to the field. Appreciate you talking with you today, man. Appreciate it, buddy. Very excited to be joined now by a pair of teammates here, DJ Moore, Roma Dunze of the Chicago Bears. Fellas, what's going on?
Shoot, nothing much. Just out here with Bounty, with my wingman, eating some wings all day. Because you can't have wings without Bounty.
Facts.
So tell me a little bit about Bounty, the wingman, the whole deal.
Yeah, no, we just, you know, it's important, you know, to have something that can, you know, clean everything up. The quicker picker upper these bad boys right here. So, you know, football players, lots of football going on. They say over like billions of chicken wings being eaten over just this week than this weekend. So you got to have something to clean that up and nothing better than Bounty.
Drums or flats?
Flats.
Really? How do you do like the whole push down method?
No, I just crack it in half.
There we go. That's a real man answer.
I like flats too. Okay. I like flats.
I'm a drums guy. I feel like you get more meat that way.
No, they get distorted and look funny. I can't.
I was an all flats guy at some point, but I'm a fan of drums too now. I'm back to even, so I respect it.
I mean, I'm not going to discriminate. It's a no, play never. To wings is a play to wings. I'm never. Not going to turn my nose up at that. All right, but you guys are wingmen, your teammates. I'm going to throw this to you first, DJ. Something in Rome's game that you noticed early that was really impressive to you?
That was really impressive? How smooth he was in and out of routes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good answer. I charted Rome as a route runner in college for Reception Perception. It's a series that I do. All green route tree, which means he got open on at all routes at all level at a really high percentage. So I like that answer. Rome, throw this to you. What's something about DJ's game that maybe you like learned from early on?
Yeah, I was saying this earlier. His balance, you know, his contact balance, his balance within routes. He can make a cut off of like any foot, any angle, any type of depth, it seems, and always keep his feet. So, you know, he's an extreme athlete in that way, and it kind of carries over when he has the ball in his hands as well.
Okay, I'm glad you brought this up because I've watched DJ's entire career dating back to when you were at Maryland and then with the Panthers and everything. And there's a lot of staffs over the years. I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus. In terms of, like, deployment, why have we not gotten somebody that's made it a priority to put the ball in your hands in space since, like, I would say your rookie year in Carolina? Is that something you'd like to do more of?
I mean, yeah. But it takes a lot. It takes more. I feel like it takes more, like, creativeness to make it happen that way. And
what goes into it? Is it like deployment or a certain type of routes?
I'm going to leave that for the coaches, but
sure.
Like just being out there, like if you get the ball by yourself, like it's scary, but if you got like one or two blockers, then you can make something really happen in space. But like just generally being in space by yourself it ends up being bad sometimes.
Yeah, so it's a little bit of a structure issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Rome, for you, again, I was really impressed with your ability as a prospect and then as a rookie to play all three positions. Like, I think you can line up at flanker, X, move into the slot as well. If you could pick, like, an ideal position for yourself to kind of be your main home, what would it be?
Oh, I don't know. I don't even know if I could pick one, honestly. I like being, you know, kind of what you were saying is, you know, asset to every single position because, you know, every scheme, every defense that you play, like, has different weaknesses. So being able to play, like, every single different spot on the field, I feel like is important to, you know, be able to have that success. So, man, I'm good for, you know, wherever I'm best used on that particular play.
Do you have a
need to do it? Oh, I had to do it my rookie year.
For sure.
It feels like he did do a little bit of everything as a rookie as well, which I think probably helps you move to all three positions as well because you're another guy that I think can thrive there as well.
Yeah, we got to be interchangeable, and I think everybody on the roster is like that, especially him because he has to, you know, go through the ranks of everything. So, which he did well, and he took a lot of notes, and his game elevated every game.
New coaching staff in town, Ben Johnson, head coach. First impressions, either one of you guys. DJ, I'll throw this to you first.
He's ready to work. He's going to take this opportunity to make the best of it. He's a first-time head coach, and the message that he had in his presser was felt throughout the organization, throughout the players that was there. And I know everybody back at home that was watching that wasn't in the building can feel the energy and juice that he's bringing, and we got to just come in with an open mind and ready to work.
Rome, same to you.
Yeah, no, I agree with DJ. You know, he brings that, you know, intensity, and I think a level of confidence that is good for the organization, and we're going to have to, you know, continue to build that chemistry and put all the pieces in the right spots to go out there and have success. But, you know, off of initial impressions, super impressed, and was able to, you know, watch his offense on film as well as live. So super excited about the future and what they have to offer.
Yeah, and I mean, in terms of from a deployment perspective, like we were talking about earlier, he's a guy in Detroit that had Amon-Ra St. Brown playing a lot of different, well, and in like a very unique kind of role as that power slot receiver. Any sort of early indications as to which one of you guys might be in that type of spot?
That's the most, like, question we get in all day.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, I thought I was, like, coming with a good one there.
Nah, that's like the third time we got asked that question. But we don't know because he's, like he said in his presser, we're not just picking up the Lions playbook and just we got to go learn. It's going to be the Chicago Bears playbook for the 2025 and thus for down the line. So we really don't know what's about to happen. We just got to go in there and just work hard.
Well, and the benefit of it is like we're talking about both of you guys, I think, could be a little interchangeable there. So that's really exciting. Caleb Williams, I'll throw this to you, DJ. You've played with a lot of different quarterbacks over your career. Tell me something about Caleb that maybe people don't know about.
That we don't know about Caleb. I think he's pretty out there with everything. He's
pretty well covered.
Like, it's well covered. But his grind, like he like when I get there, he's pulling up because I get there pretty early. And he pulls up right next to me. He's getting after it, and he's either going to lift in the morning or get some extra film study. So I know he's trying to build his routine, and it's paying off towards the end of the year last year.
Rome, what's something about Caleb's game that stuck out to you?
I think, you know, obviously his ability to make plays outside the pocket and like improvise in situations, I think is super impressive. But his ability, you know, to just sit there and go through the reads as well. You know, I think he brings a different type of skill set, you know, than a lot of quarterbacks, you know, especially with his, you know, on the run throws and stuff like that. So he has an unpredictableness to him. I don't know if that's a word, but
no, it works. But it is a podcast, yeah, man. You're allowed to make up words on a podcast.
There you go. That, you know, kind of makes you have to be ready at all times. So I think that's something that's unique to him.
For both of you guys, I'll throw to you first, Rome. What's your favorite route to run? What do you think is your best route?
Oh, man.
Only one right answer.
Oh, I like this.
There's only one right answer.
For all receivers or him specifically?
No, just him specifically.
Okay, well, then I want to hear this.
I mean, my favorite route is, I don't know. I like go routes, but like, kind of like on the outside, you know, like a one-on-one opportunity, mm-hmm. Just to go make a play, as well as like box phase, eye phase, I think are fun as well. Just kind of like a me versus you. Let's see who can go get the ball is all type of fun. But, yeah, I would say all deep routes.
Was that the right answer?
No, that's not the right answer.
What's the right answer for him?
Clear route.
Clear route for DJ Moore?
Clear route. No, I'm just messing with him.
What's your favorite route to run? What do you think you're best at?
Any routes that's breaking in or a stop route. I mean, a lot of people don't think that I can run routes, but I done ran routes in multiple different offices. But
who's saying you can't run routes?
No, it just be like
– there's people out there?
Like bits and pieces just floating like – he only can do bubble screens and stuff like that.
Tell him next time somebody says that to you, tell you refer them to me. I'll refer them to my website, and I will show them that that is not true. So, yeah, a couple of great wide receivers here, Rome Odunze, DJ Moore. Good luck to you guys this year. Really rooting for a big offensive turnaround there in Chicago. Appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
All right, thank you again to DJ Moore, to Rome Odunze, to Malik Nabers. Malik Nabers, real pleasant guy. I enjoyed talking to Malik Nabers, and I will be laughing for a while about DJ Moore saying that the best route that Rome Odunze can run is a clear out route. That one's going to stick with me for a while. That was some pretty juicy stuff. Thanks again to those three receivers. That is going to do it for today's show. Super Bowl show in the books on Monday. We will be back with Andy Behrens. He's going to join me to break everything down that you need to know from this Super Bowl. Celebrate the winner. What's next for the loser? All that and more coming up on Monday. Until then, we are out.